Welcome to the Liars Club. This is where we take our guests, we tell them to give us the truth, give us a lie, we figure out which is which. I'm Jessica Wellington.
I'm Felicia Michaels.
And you're about to get lied to.
And today we have two wonderful guests. Our first guest is a young gentleman who is a doorman here at the Comedy Store. He has a podcast. He's really, really funny. Please give it up for Mr. Isaac Allen.
Thank you.
Woo!
Feeling good.
Thank you for coming, Isaac. And over here to my right, we have Jessa Reed, who was recently on This Is Not Happening with Ari Shaffir. Was it with Ari?
I was right after Ari left, yeah.
Oh, I didn't he even was, know
I
he
mean,
left.
When I got booked, it was Ari Shaffir.
Right.
When I arrived in L.A. to shoot, it was not.
We're getting too deep into this.
No, sorry. I just didn't. I had no idea. I love Ari's.
As three women looked at him with the shut the fuck up, we're moving on.
She just did that. She had an amazing story on it. I heard her on Bert Kreischer's podcast. I said we had to have her. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
We usually like to start our podcast off with a little story and a little theme. And our theme is road stories. Do you like going on the road?
I do. Yeah. I love being on the road.
I hate being on the road, and I'm going to blame that on my parents. When I was a kid, my dad was in the service. We had to drive across the country. We were somewhere in Mississippi, and I kicked the door handle, and my brother fell out, and he rolled down into this ravine and got stuck on a bunch of barbed wire.
Holy
and there
shit.
Was this moment, because all the windows were down, where it was so loud in the car, and my parents didn't hear it, and I was like, we could just leave this motherfucker here.
Oh.
Yeah, so how about
how
you?
Long did you wait to tell them?
I waited about a good 4 minutes, because fuck that guy. You know my brother, he was ADHD and not nice about it before ADHD was even a prognosis or a diagnosis. God. Yeah, he was an evil little fuck. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
I got a lot of road trip stories, but one that comes to mind is I was driving from Las Vegas to North Carolina. I was on leave from the Air Force. I'm driving, and I was like, I'm going to take in all the sights and do all this stuff. And once you get on the road, you don't do any of that. I need to get where I'm going.
Right.
Fuck this shit.
Right.
Right. And I have, I think we talked about this a little bit on the last podcast, but I have a sensitive tummy. And when I have to go, I have to go. So I got diarrhea in my Mustang. Sitting in it.
Right.
And then I pulled over on this overpass and I'm trying to clean up and I have this beach towel around me and this fucking state trooper stops trying to help me.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, I don't need help. I don't need help. I don't need help. I don't. Please leave me alone. Please leave me alone. He gets out of the car and I'm like, I'm fine. I'm good. Please just stay back. And I think he kind of got wind that...
He got some wind.
Definitely.
I'll tell you, he got wind.
He got wind.
And it was foreboding wind.
That I didn't actually need his help. And I was like, I'm going to be fine. I'm just getting cleaned up. I got to get back on the road. So then I went and checked into a Motel 8 with the
Motel 8 is what it should be called.
With a towel wrapped around you, because that's what how the Motel 8... works. If you check in with a towel, they ask no fucking questions.
It's like diarrhea is our purview here. Like, we take care of exclusively
as
diarrhea
long as it's
people.
Not their towel, they give no fucks.
Yeah, wearing no pants. Yeah, it was awkward as fuck.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow. Thank you for sharing, Jessica. All right, what about you, Isaac Allen?
It was when I moved out to California. I was moving to San Diego from Indiana. So I had nothing. All I had packed up was I was driving on my own, leaving all my friends, family behind. I had a suitcase full of clothes. I had all my drum equipment, my guitars, all my instruments, and just a little mini trash can full of like DVDs and shit. And I was driving, making stops on the way, staying at friends' houses, da da da. And it's just like, it was like a 4-day trip because I'd stopped at a lot of places to catch up with people. And one day I was driving, it was like snowy in Colorado, and I'd just been staying at some people's places, and I just got horny. So I pulled. So
I thought for sure this was going to be another diarrhea story. Yeah, I got to tell you.
I was like, damn it.
Yeah. So then I heard about this chick diarrheaing. I was like, that's my shit, and I drove over there. No. So I was in it was snowing like crazy, and it was in Colorado. And you know how like they have those rest areas that aren't really rest areas; it's just like a bench with like an overhang, and that's it. There's just like, it's like 10 feet. There's like places like that on the freeway. You can just stop, and there's just like a bench. There's no bathroom. There's no nothing.
Yeah, those are called overlooks.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Like a scenic, like a scenic area?
Yeah, no, it's not even that. It's just literally like you can pull off.
It can't be called a rest area if there's no bathroom.
That's what I'm saying is I don't know what to call it. It's just like a rest area with nothing except a bench.
Oh, but there's no sign that says rest area.
Yeah, but you can rest there.
I mean, or in my case, by rest, you mean jerk off.
Which is leading up to the story. So I just like, there's not enough people that drive by here, and it's going to be fine. And I just like pulled over and I couldn't get any signal. So.
Andrew loves this story so far. So
I just scrolled through my phone to see what, if I'd taken snapshots on anything on the internet or anything like that. And I usually try and take pictures of funny stuff. So there's not like hot chicks or whatever. And what I found a picture was, there's a really funny picture of Caitlin Olsen from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And she was like drinking a beer and doing this. And she had like a tiara that was like hanging halfway off her head and just like a blue dress. And I just jerked off to that. Just like in the snow. And then when I was done, I was like, all right, let's keep going to California.
You guys stepped out of the car and jerked off into the snow?
I have many questions.
I'm trying to remember because I was still sitting. I think I might have just been like facing outside of the car. I think I had a tissue. I don't know. It's just
so
like,
you were outside in the cold jerking off and that the frigid air wasn't a problem?
Why did you get out of your car?
I was so horny. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's
you,
women
you can't
don't
muster
get,
enough,
get,
enough imagination saying. For a beautiful woman. You got to fucking look on your phone for a picture.
Yeah, when it's cold and all my senses are like
fucking, you opened the door.
It wouldn't be cold in the car.
I don't remember if I opened the door. I just remember jerking off and feeling really weird about it.
You can't steer and jerk off at the same time. What the fuck is going on in this conversation?
I feel like this is a story about making things more complicated than they need to be.
First of all, none of you are qualified to comment on this. Let's just get that right out of the way.
You think you don't jerk off on the road, right? We jerk off all the time. Yeah, I don't get out of my car.
You can just go in and be like, I'm not obstructing any, you know.
Either way, calories are burned, my friend.
Andrew knows what I'm talking about. No, it's like if basically you're jerking off while you're driving, you're just hitting the steering wheel constantly with your penis. So,
is a story about a big dick.
it always ends up a story about a
either
big
that
dick.
Or a guy who rides with a steering wheel super low.
I did a gig once where I showed up way too high. I've been up for like 5 days on drugs and was on an ecstasy bender. And so when I rolled in, I was way sleep deprived and should have just canceled the gig. But I walk in, it's Walla Walla, Washington, which is like this great room where they treat you like rock stars and like 200 people show up. And I had crushed there before. And at this point I'm like a feature, but I've been doing a lot of drugs in a short period of time. And a lot of my jokes were about being overweight, but now I was like sucked up from doing all these drugs. And I tripped getting onto the stage and then was so sleep deprived and out of it that I was saying the words to the jokes, but not the inflection or, you know, delivery or anything. And the whole audience is just staring at me like, what the fuck? And at that point, I hallucinate a crawdad or like a scorpion combo coming at me on the stage.
Combo.
And I gasp and then stare at it for a solid minute and then realize that's probably not real. And then I look back at the audience, who's all just like, what the fuck? And so then I cried, and I ran off the stage.
Oh, no!
And I get in the bathroom, and I'm crying, and I don't want to come out. And the owner comes in and says, you can have your money or your hotel room, but you can't have both because you're clearly fucked up on drugs. So I really needed the hotel room because I really needed a nap, but I needed the money for drugs, so I took the money. And the whole rest of the ride home, I'm driving through like the Dalles. Have you ever driven through the Dalles in like Oregon? It's like it's beautiful, scenic, like river, mountains. But you can straight go off a cliff at any moment, especially if you haven't slept in 5 days. So I'm driving, but in my mind the entire time, I'm being guided by magical trucks that are flashing lights at me to guide me. But there was actually just trucks like, fucking move, bitch. You know, they're like flashing their flashes at me.
You're like, thank you.
And at one point I start to get pulled over and I come to enough to realize like, oh fuck, getting pulled over right now. And then someone just flew past me and the cop at like a million miles an hour. And the cop took off after him.
Right,
and the adrenaline from that like woke me up enough that I found a rest stop to jerk off at.
Did you get out of the car?
No, I stayed in the car because I have internal parts, apparently.
I was in the car behind her.
Okay.
We waved to each other at one point with the free hand.
Well, that's how we warm up, and now we're going to get along to our stories. And what we do is we ask each of our guests to tell a real story and a lie, and then we will figure out which is the lie and which is the real story.
Are we supposed to prepare for this?
Either way, we're using whatever you say. So the answer is yes. So who wants to start off? Would you like to start off? You want to start off?
You want me to start off? All right.
Yeah, you start off.
Okay.
This story takes place, I'm going to say I'm like 10... Maybe like 10, almost 11 maybe. And my mom is there's a lot of drug addicts in all of my stories. My mom is addicted to drugs and is way out there, just in outer space.
What kind of drugs?
Crank, mostly. It was like meth now. Mm-hmm. And she was somehow inexplicably allowed in the Air National Guard. She was like a cook for the Air National Guard and she before she got kicked out for drugs. And so she took us to a family day at the Air National Guard like base. And it was just like games and food and shit.
Like a little fair.
Yeah. And at some point I'm wearing, so this is like the 80s. And so I'm wearing like electric blue stretch pants kind of. And they had, back then they had like an elastic band, like an elastic bit stirrup pants was the thing. And then like a shirt. And I ripped the ass out of the pants somehow. And
on
so
purpose?
No, just like on a fence or on a bench or something, just like, but like ripped the ass out. So I wanted to go home because I was embarrassed. I was just old enough to have crushes on boys, but it wasn't quite sexual yet.
I was
old enough to be self-conscious about not having an ass in my pants. About 10. And so my mom takes me upstairs and she, in the bathroom, and her solution, cause she's high, is to just take your pants off. Just don't wear pants. Don't wear pants. Like, cause leaving isn't an option cause mom doesn't want to leave. Like
right.
This is free beer here. Like we're not fucking going home. So just throw your pants away. And I was like, I want to keep the pants like that, you know, and there was no like, let's tie a shirt around or a coat or something. There was none of that. So her logic was that the shirt was long enough like a dress and it was, it was like barely covered my labia. And
Menorah
I was
or
like, back then both. And so then she said that you don't need pants. Kids don't need pants. Which she did not cite.
You didn't have underpants on?
I did have underwear on and a shirt. But okay, so
I'm not defending your mother.
I was like 5'9" already. Like I had I was a big ass kid. Yeah, like I was like so I was already very tall. I was already bigger than her. And then, her logic was kids don't need pants, which is maybe for like a toddler in a diaper, but like I am
this is making sense. My mom was a crackhead and I was naked a lot.
Yeah, I just think like she's living in an alternate timeline and that this just makes sense that
I don't mean to burst anyone's bubbles, but my mother was a drug addict.
Really?
But I was never forced to take my pants off.
You were
off.
Never had your pants off. Okay. That must be nice.
I went around naked all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Am I the only one here whose mom wasn't a drug addict?
Yeah. Today.
Oh, well, Andrew doesn't count.
And Andrew.
All right, so.
So that's the story of why I always wear pants in public now. Because she won. She won. I spent the rest of the family day with no fucking pants on.
So we don't, okay.
It can be that simple sometimes, those stories. How about you, Isaac Allen?
So this is like the most traumatic thing I've ever been through. I was about 10 years old and I was playing baseball. I was like heavy into baseball. Like I was a fan of the Seattle Mariners. Hardcore because of Ichiro. He was like the only Asian like baseball player I knew of
that
then.
Name, so
dude,
okay.
He was the shit, but he was on the shittiest team. The Seattle Mariners were awful. And he was Japanese and everybody, but Indiana is where I grew up. So everyone's so just like ignorant there that they just kept calling me Ichiro, even though I'm Chinese. And they're just like Ichiro because I'm the one Asian dude on any team ever that I'm in.
Right.
So I was like,
this
I would do.
Adding up.
Yeah, so I would do. That's funny. So I would do like the rec leagues in the summer and stuff, and then like the school leagues in during the actual springtime. And there was one time I hit the ball. I was playing for the Oakland A's. I hit the ball, and I was rounding, and it was in right field, so I was able to try and do a triple if I was fast enough. And so everybody's cheering. My adrenaline's going up. I'm rounding second. The throw is coming in, and I'm running, and the dude's like, slide. So I slid, and I was running full speed, and I just didn't see, like, the depth perception of the bag. So I slid, and I slid late. And when you slide late, your foot, you know, it hits the bag early. So I'm not fully down yet. It hits the bag early. My knee comes up, smashes me in the face.
Oh, no.
Six teeth just come flying out. Yeah. Six fucking root canals. I was like 10. And
so
one
these
of
aren't
the,
baby teeth.
No, these are like full teeth. And one of the mothers of, God bless white soccer moms in the Midwest, she's like, they just, like three white mothers just came out of the woodwork, like, oh my God, like in their fucking heels.
Do they have
and
milk?
And they're running over, and one of them ran to go, two of them were like, get milk! And the other one was like, I'm getting milk! And
what does milk do?
So you put your teeth into the milk right away, so maybe you could save them.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So something about...
I really wish I had.
Drink your milk.
That is good information.
Drink your
to
milk,
have.
Kids. So one of the mothers got milk. They put all the teeth in there. And they managed to get them all back in. But it was like the blood was like on the bag that I slid on. You know what I mean? Like just covering the bag. And like we had to stop the game. Obviously, I had to stop the game. But they had to stop the game for like 20 minutes.
20 minutes for 16?
Dude. Because they had to wipe all the blood off and like rake it.
So do you have those teeth in your mouth now?
Can you smile for us?
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Oh, my God. That is amazing. So the whole teeth with roots and everything?
Root canals. Had to get root canals. It was the front two, like these two, and then like the two on the bottom right here.
Many questions.
Oh, my God.
I don't know about this one.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have many questions because I have two teenage boys, so teeth falling out of their mouth has happened. So I don't know about the root canal thing. I have many questions about that. Yeah.
Did they save their teeth when they fell out?
No, because they cracked, like half of them cracked off, or they had to put like, filler in, so I have many questions about
right,
that.
Right, to get all six out in one piece seems...
So a knee took out six teeth in your mouth.
They didn't take out. I knocked them out with my knees.
Yeah, 16.
Like, no, I just took them out. Just like,
and they were able to save all six teeth.
Yeah, milk. They put all of them in milk.
Yeah, because number one, where do you get milk at a baseball game?
It's the Midwest.
Gatorade.
Go milk a cow that's next door. Like,
yeah, I mean, they could have ran next door to anybody's house. I'm not really. It's the saving of all six teeth.
Listen, why didn't you grill her like this? Okay.
Because that seemed plausible.
Thank you. Thank you, the other XY chromosome in the fucking room.
Okay, interesting. So we're moving on.
This is the first time I wished it was a sausage fest in here. Like,
get used to it, my friend. Anyway, so what about you? What's your second story?
All right, so my second story is about the same mom, but she's different now.
She's sober now?
This is about 10 years later. She's sober. She's a born-again Christian.
Oh, no.
She's a real... Yeah, it was worse.
No.
Real hardworking lady, and we really miss each other because by this point I am partying really hard, and I'm doing stand up. This is a little bit before I get cracked out on drugs, and I'm living in her basement because that's where you live when you do stand up. And I'm about 21, and I don't have much of a work ethic. I've never really. I've managed to only have a job like 5 years of my life. I always managed find something else to do, drugs and shit. But she got me a job. She wanted me. I was on the road like 2 to 3 weeks out of the month.
May I interrupt your story for a question? What kind of drugs did you do? What was your thing?
I was a meth addict for 6 years.
Oh, really?
On accident. I got accidentally addicted to it on the road. That should have been my road story.
As one is wont to do.
I was at a gig and I thought I was doing coke and it was meth.
And you were addicted just like that?
And immediately I was like, oh, here's the best thing that's ever happened.
It is, pretty great. You get like an adrenaline rush. You get shit done. Like, I'm already too way laid back as it is. And with meth, I was doing stuff.
God, it's like flowers for Algernon. I just felt like a genius all of a sudden.
Really?
It was amazing. Yeah.
And you guys tried Adderall?
really wish I had known.
Just saying, that's
I have because I took my kids Adderall to try it.
Adderall's the best. Adderall
we only had amazing. Ritalin back then, and yeah. I know I can't try Adderall because I will love it.
Yep, you will.
It's the best.
But yeah, I lost my teeth, and I did not know the milk trick.
You lost your teeth doing meth.
They got dentures.
You got dentures.
Mm-hmm.
I heard them fall out in Burke Kreischer's podcast.
Yeah, they came out fast. I already didn't have great teeth. I'd already had a kid by then, and so I already didn't have great teeth, and they just were gone. Yeah. They were gone fast.
Wow.
I would like make new teeth out of super glue at first. I would super glue the pieces back on. And then at one point we burglarized this is really going to take away from the next story. They burglarized a dentist's office and everyone else was like looking for nitrous and shit to sell. And I was just like, amalgam, that sounds like what you make teeth out of. And then I just built a bridge of new, real gnarly
you
looking teeth.
Built a bridge of new party teeth. Because I had a friend who lost a tooth and then she had a temporary one that the dentist gave her, but she's supposed to go back and get the real one. And so she kept that temporary one and whenever she went to a party, she would super glue that shit in.
Oh, so that's like, so funny. I just had like super party glue tooth. This one in the other day.
Really?
I was eating a Clif Bar and it came out. And what? I was like, now they fall out of dentures? What the fuck? So yeah. I'm like walking through Rite Aid trying to get super glue, but like avoiding conversation because it's like this one. Yeah.
May I ask a personal question? Mm-hmm. And my apologies, Isaac. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, okay.
When you give a blowjob, do you take them out?
No, it's gross.
Who wasn't thinking about that?
Everyone thinks about it. I do talk about it on stage. Everyone thinks about it, but it is...
I was thinking about it before we started the podcast.
Sometimes, if their dick is really big, you take the bottom ones out, and it just gives you a little more space.
Knowledge, people. Knowledge.
But for the most part, both of them out, first of all, you look like bitter beer face. Second of all, it's way too much extra space, so you can't even get suction because there's just way too much, and it sounds... disgusting. It sounds like slapping a head of wet lettuce into a baseball mitt.
Interesting. I'm glad I asked.
So the trick is just take the bottom.
Yeah, but so the bottom is kind of a nice...
Oh, so you have top and bottoms or dentures?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, full set. Oh, what was I?
How much does that cost to get a full set of dentures? I have many questions.
The original thing was $10,000 because I had so much self dentistry that the oral surgery was a nightmare.
Oh, God.
So when the dentist and I went in there and pretend I'm like 26, 27.
Oh, my goodness.
And so when the oral surgeon was looking at the X-ray and he was like, how are you not writhing on the floor in pain? You've got floating bone fragments. Cause I would just like cut them open and bury the otherwise they get exposed nerves and stuff. Anyway, it was a mess.
Man.
Now they're like $4,000 to get, you have to get new ones every few years, which
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of cool.
And yeah, that's really bad luck on your part. Cause my mom did drugs for over 20 years and it took her that long to get her teeth out. I mean, it didn't take.
It was really fast. It's weird how much you don't. Like, I could eat steak. I'd say this day, like, it other than some types of chewing gum, it doesn't hold me back from anything. And I would not take teeth back if you to never have a toothache again for the rest of your life. Because I already had, like, bad teeth before meth.
Right, yeah. That's what it was. And
genetically,
really
just we're
it.
Not, you're predisposed for...
Yeah, I had a baby when I was a teenager, and that pregnancy, they were just done. And so it was just putting out fires after putting out fires. And so to just have them out and to never have to deal with it, and they don't really look like dentures. If they start to look like dentures, I could just get new ones. And to never, you know, I have to go to the dentist just to trade them in.
I just want to hear your life story now.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I'm sorry.
Wow. Well, you have a wonderful smile.
For my life.
No, you have a great smile. I would have never guessed.
Thank you very much.
I don't know if that's a compliment one should say, but there you go.
Yeah. Well, so
this
it's
is
not
a great
something.
Smile.
Well, I mean, you know, if someone tells or shares with you that they have dentures, I don't know if you're supposed to say.
I'm not. So I think I'm supposed to be. Because when I was like 28 and I would just freely talk about it, people are like, how are you not embarrassed? And I'm like, dude, I just didn't have teeth in my 20s. I don't have body image issues.
Right.
Like, sometimes I'm 250 pounds. Sometimes I'm like, I don't care about any of it. I didn't have teeth in my 20s. When everyone else was like, oh my God, is this a love handle right here? I was just like food falling out of the side of my mouth. Like, I don't give you know how many push-ups your personality has to do to get away with having no teeth in your 20s? So yeah, I'm like, these are teeth. Why would I be self-conscious about that? I have a fucking grill. This is amazing.
That's so funny.
That's amazing.
Be grateful for what you have.
All right, back to your story.
All right. I apologize for interrupting. No, this is great. What was I talking? Okay, so my mom makes me work temp jobs while I'm in town. So when I'm in town, I'm living in Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon has this great, or did have at this point, this great after-hours scene, this great speakeasy scene for all like the industry people. And so it would be like people who work at bars and dancers and then comedians and radio people and shit. So when I was in town, that's just where I was all night. And it was open from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. And then my mom wanted me to go work this fucking job. She worked at Doc Martens back when they were a huge thing. In the warehouse, though. And like when I did have jobs, I worked like offices because I'm fucking lazy. And I don't like, I remember it like they rang a bell when it was time for lunch. I just remember feeling like, this is so archaic. I can't live like this.
It's like a sweatshop.
Yeah, that's how I remember it. She says that's not how it was. But so I go, I go straight from the after hours, halfway drunk still, and I get to Doc Martens. And I've already used, I'm having period cramps. I've already used, like, I forgot my other shoe. I've already used all my, like, my stock excuses. And so my whole job was taking flat cardboard shoebox and folding them into the shoeboxes so that they could pack them and ship them. And it was the worst. You had to stand there and do it. And then the hangover's kicking in. And I want out of there so bad. And I'm like, how do I get out of here? I need an injury. I need to get injured so I can get out of here. Oh so this all made so much sense in my head that I was like, I'm just going to take my box cutter and cut myself on the ankle real quick, just like above the bone.
Oh my God.
And so they'll let me go home. I'll be like, I have to get a tetanus shot, you know, because it was
Oh, my God.
All of this just fucking such a good... So I bend down with my box knife and I cut myself on the ankle. This is before it was like in. And nothing happens.
You didn't bleed?
I didn't bleed. So then I do it again. Nothing happens. And again. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening here? I cut myself 20 times probably. And then all of a sudden in unison, they all start bleeding. All start bleeding. But now it is
so
very...
thin.
Yeah, very obvious that I've been cut 20 times now.
Right, so now,
I have
it's like not an accident anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So it can't just be like, I was just going to be like, I don't know where this came from, but now there's going to be an investigation. I know this. So what this all? So I take the razor out of the box knife and I put it, because I'm standing next to the stack of flat cardboard that I have to fold up, and I stick it in about ankle. And this is 45 minutes of me working on this entire project, right? So there's blood just into my sock, and I am perfectly lining up where this razor needs to be. And then I fabricate this story about how I was swinging my foot back and forth while I was working, which doesn't make any sense because I'm just standing on the other foot.
That was so retarded.
And I go into the office and I just sell them this line of bullshit. And they're like, oh my God, there was what? And I was like, there's a razor in the, and I'm not even thinking what this means on their end. And they go over and they look and they pull out the razor and they're like, where's your box knife? And I was like, I left it at home. And so, or I didn't have one, whatever. And so they're like, okay, go to the hospital and get a tetanus shot, please. So I went home and slept it off. And then my mom comes home and I wake up to her yelling at me because I guess they have cameras in the fucking
warehouse.
Oh my God.
And so they call my mom in the office. They think this is this big elaborate scam where I'm trying to like sue them or
make
get
money.
Like workman's comp. And my mom's like, I promise you, this is just her lazy ass trying to get out of the rest of the workday.
Oh my God. This reminds me, have you watched the new season of Shameless at all?
No.
Oh, it's good.
No. I keep trying to, I keep falling asleep.
Yeah. And he does all that shit.
Does he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, in past seasons, you've seen it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a similar work ethic. Yeah. To the dad and that. So she was like, this is the last time I'm ever helping you get a job. And that part, I was like, perfect. Absolutely.
When you got home, did you wrap it up?
I think I put like a gauze on it. I didn't go get a tetanus shot. I know that because that's what I was like. I have to leave to get a tetanus shot. Yeah, because they were like, what happened? I was like, I haven't had a tetanus shot in a while. I just didn't. I knew that was my out. Like, if I have to go get the shot, I must have had an experience before where I needed to get a tetanus shot. Work sent me out or something. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Wow. That is fucking deep, my friend.
Yeah.
Wait, was that part of the second story?
That was her second
story.
That was my second story. Yeah. No pressure.
So I don't know which one. Oh, sometimes when people put too much detail in, it's a lie, but this sounds like a very, just a story.
They both do though. Like, she was like, stick to drugs and they won't be able to tell the difference which one's which.
I mean, once you've seen fake trucks and owls, this could go anywhere.
Yeah.
Man, that means I'm going to have to stick to baseball.
Well,
so I can make it harder.
What's yours? What's your second story?
I don't know. I was in a band and I was quitting, but they had one last gig to do. This is when I was living in San Diego. It's a band called Slower. And the reason they were called Slower is because they used to be called Mower. And they kind of made it big as like a metal band. They kind of like they got to open for Metallica and shit. And then they like just kind of got old and sort of, because music is a very ageist industry. Like, that's the great thing about comedy is we could all be like 50,000 years old and like make it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not ageist. But music is very ageist and these guys got kind of old. So they were like, well, let's just do covers and slow down our metal songs into jazz rock. So instead of like an electric bass, they play like stand-up bass and like we sing and harmonize and all kinds of shit. But I wanted to be the drummer and they already had a drummer who their drummer actually loved my drumming. So it was one of those. And then he left. And so I was like, I'm going to be the drummer now. And then they just like hired another guy. And then I kind of started to be like, fuck this band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I was still singing. We were selling out shows. And I was playing like, I was like the all-purpose.
So you were in a jazz band.
Jazz rock-ish sort of band.
Okay.
Yeah. We all wore like vests and suits and fucking, I had a mohawk at the time, like the whole deal. And then, because it was like, were you not listening to anything?
Yeah.
Because it's like the metal thing switched to a jazz rock thing. So we kept some of like the metal punk vibe. And just put suits on. But that was the gimmick. That's why everybody loved us.
How long
were
you in this band?
I was in this band for about 5 years.
Oh, wow.
About 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I started comedy.
Is this why you were going to school to be a scientist? Because he went to school and he's a neuroscientist.
Really?
That's the lie. No, I'm just kidding.
That's true.
Really?
So, holy shit.
I mean, no, I have a degree in neuroscience and I triple minored in psychology, biology, and German. But anyways, so I was in Ecuador, jerking off.
Why were you in Ecuador?
No, for the band, Slower.
So yeah, Slower had a gig, and it was like my farewell thing. Because what I ended up being for them when they hired the other drummer was like, I was just the auxiliary guy. So anything they needed to fill in a song, they gave to me. Rhythm guitar, let Isaac do it. Fucking tambourines, bongos, vocals, like anything they needed, auxiliary, I would just do. So I was just like, this is going to be my farewell one, is this Ecuador thing. We got flown out there to play a surf contest on the beach for 50,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah. And I got hammered beforehand because the vodka, they were sponsored by this vodka company. And I took a picture with the woman who won Miss Ecuador, who didn't even look like a real person. That's how good looking she was. And then I would go into this little tent. And there's just vodka everywhere. And I was like, are we allowed to drink this? And my singer just turns to me with like two. He's like, yeah, just drinking. So I got smashed. And I was like, I'm going to make the most of this dumb me just being this auxiliary guy and on my last show. So we're playing. I can show you pictures. It's like crazy fucking view of the beach on the ocean on the left. And then just the beach in front of us and all the city and stuff on the right. And there's people just going nuts. There's like a platform that goes out. I call it an ego platform because it's like, you know, there's the stage and then there's like a little platform you run out on and you can like sing in the front and be like, good love, whatever it is you're singing. And then like run back. It's like for your ego. And I remember at one point I just said, fuck it. I'm going to do something really crazy. But I don't know what to do. And so on one song, I think it was the song we were covering, Jet. You know, that's, are you gonna be my girl?
Right.
And I was playing the tambourine part, and there's a part where the tambourine cuts out, and he goes, are you gonna be my girl? And then there's just the bass line comes in, and I waited for when everyone was supposed to come in, including me after that. I jumped on the riser that the drum set was on. I looked at the drummer, and he was just like looking at me, like we did that whole music thing where we look at each other like, yeah, we're connected. And I turned and I turned back to the crowd and there was like no ceiling. Like it was just because it's big open air venue. And I threw the tambourine as high as I could in the air. It's like just spinning off into the night. And I jumped off of the riser. And literally when I threw it, I heard like a section of 50 people in the crowd in front of me go, oh, And then I jumped just fucking right as I landed. I caught the tambourine without missing a beat and started doing it. Holy and like shit. This whole 15 people were like, yeah, I just started going nuts. And then I missed my vocal cue right after that.
Oh,
I was like,
so pumped.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, oh, and that's what got you laid by the Ecuador girl?
No, afterwards I was fighting off whiskey dick and it got laid, sort of. And it was bad. It was bad.
It was I see like, why you opened with that.
Like I needed a fluffer for that situation. That was and it was bad because she was gorgeous. Because Ecuadorian
never
women
imagined you as such a bro guy until I just imagined this as like spring break in.
How was that bro-y?
Daytona.
Being a musician.
That's how I yeah.
That's not bro-y. Bros aren't musicians unless they fucking play Dave Matthews Band on their acoustic guitars at college parties.
I'm sorry, Jessica,
parties.
I can't have you be mean to our guests with that fucked up ponytail. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Nice to Isaac.
Yeah, with your shitty haircut.
Well, that's a good story. That's you. You came up with a really... You had two good stories, actually. The one with the knocking your own teeth out and... the milk part and saving your teeth, and then the
doing.
The
she
tambourine.
Was talking about all her dental work. Right. It was like I was making me cringe.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. So,
see how I'm buttering them up. See how I'm buttering them up.
So, but then to think about your stories, Jesse, with your mom not letting you wear pants and underwear, and how old were you when that happened?
10.
10, yeah. That's kind of a little old to be telling a girl, even if you're fucked up on drugs.
Yeah.
Telling your kid, no, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to guess this first one was fake.
That's your guess?
That's my guess.
I'm going to guess the first one was fake, too, because you kind of just sloughed it off and you gave very many details about the second one. So I'm going to say the first story was fake. How about you, Jessica?
Okay, the second story... Is when you were so sleep deprived. No, am I getting confused?
Is when she slashed her ankle at the Doc Martens.
I'm telling 32 stories on this podcast.
Jesus Christ. She was slashing herself on the ankle at the Doc Marten factory to get out of work.
God. I'll say that one's fake because I always go against the grain with these guys.
This is the first time I've been on the show. How you always go against the grain?
Me. Well, she's always right, by the way.
These guys.
I'm the worst.
I don't know, because I could see my mom be like, I'll just take your pants, leave your pants off. My mom went around pantsless all the time in front of a bunch of dudes at the house doing drugs. And she just wore underwear and shirts. And I wore no clothes. It makes sense.
When you were 10?
No, I mean, I was up to it because my mom lost custody of me, but thanks for bringing that up. No.
And here's why I don't believe that story, because my mother was very tall, and she would tell me all the time when she was a kid, she was super tall before everyone else, and so she got hit on by men inappropriately at a very young age, and everyone thought she was retarded because all the young kids were playing and being nice because they were playing with this retarded woman, and she was just their age. That's a true story. Yeah. So if you're taller than your mother, I can't believe your mother would say, you don't need pants.
Do I tell it now?
I guess.
We all put in our guesses. Yeah. First story, second story.
Yeah.
My strategy might have backfired. But here, so I knew you had listened to Burtcast, and I've listened to other people tell their stories on here. And I was like, how do I make up? Do I make up a normal story? Because that will obviously not be true. Or do I come up with something so outlandish? And then someone had told a story that was half true. And then it was like it was something that happened that was normal. Julie Gold. So it was like a normal thing that happened, and she added an outlandish ending. And so I was like, I'll take something outlandish.
That might have been Emily's story.
That was Emily's story.
Emily's a good liar, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, fucking solid strategy. I'll reverse it. I'll take an outlandish story and give it a normalish ending.
Uh-huh.
So I did go to the family day with my mom at the Air National Guard. But she did some dope behind a dumpster and then and then shit her pants and then made me go upstairs and she hijacked my pants so that
she pants-jacked you.
So the exchange between us was like this tug of war as she was commissioning the use of my pants. That's and that's when she was like, your shirt's like a dress. And she's like 5'8", you know, right. Or 5'6" or something. I don't know, give a shit. Well, she's much smaller than me. And so I was like, well, then do you want to wear the dress shirt? And she was like, no, I just, nah. So she walks out in combat boots, baggy ass, electric blue, stretch pants with the stirrups hanging out. And now I just have no pants. And then she tells a friend of hers that, but that I'm like so desensitized to the insanity now that the story was not, it was embarrassing, but not like now my, it sounds kind of sad, but she tells her friend, because when we walk back out, my stepdad's like, what the fuck is happening?
And your stepdad was there the whole time?
Yeah, well, we were waiting in line for the bathroom, and she just did this like, oh, and I was like, I'm going to sit this one out. And she's like, get your ass in here. And then I had the awkward exchange of watching your mom like bidet her own butt crack in the sink. And then she's just like, give me your pants. And then I fought her for the pants, and then she won. Oh, no. And then when we walked out, So then we walk out, and her friend is looking at her, because then the rest of she's wearing like the uniform, like she's wearing like the white fatigues or whatever the fuck they're called. And so her friend's like looking at us, and my mom says, yeah, I sat in some gum, so I had to take her pants, which I thought was the best.
I sat in some gum.
Just the best. But that, meant, that connected for her. Like, yeah, I mean, I sat in some pants, so naturally my child just... Wow. So
she's like my spirit animal. Because here's the thing, when I was a kid once in third grade, I am semi-allergic to eggs, and I wasn't feeling good at school. My dad, because he was a single dad, made us a bunch of eggs, and then I was at the library, and then I got a terrible tummy ache, and it was in because I'm an army brat, it was in Berlin, Germany, where my dad was stationed. And so I was let go to go run to the bathroom, and I go to the bath and I hit the bathroom, and right as I pulled my pants down, I shit all over the bathroom. God. And then I cleaned it up, and someone came in, and they're like, oh my God, what happened? I'm like, these fucking second graders. So when you're in that panic mode of diarrhea, you will rationalize anything. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Wow. There
so
you go.
How did you get that second story?
Yeah.
You just...
I was just like trying to think of like what is a reasonable, I wanted to like at least get to that, that my pants were stolen, but I, what was a reasonable reason that I would, and I almost just said that I sat in gum, but then, oh, the second.
Which one's the fake one? Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
The second story is fake, right?
No, the first story is fake.
Yeah, so I was trying to emulate the take a crazy story, but I may have added too much truth to it, so.
So the second story is completely true.
Yeah.
100%. The first story is still kind of true.
It's still kind of true. Yeah. I realized that while he was talking. I was like, I might have added too much truth.
You just gave us more of the details now.
I was trying to take a...
never right.
We were both right. Yeah.
I was trying to take a crazy story and make it... Maybe I'm not capable of that. I'm going to make it kind of normal at the end.
That's what you have to notice. I know. I learned this watching the TV show Psych. Is that in every lie there is a kernel of truth.
Oh, absolutely.
So you have to try and figure out what the embellishment is around the truth.
Right.
Yeah, I was trying to reverse embellish. So I was trying to make it because her story was she really went to that thing and then she just added something at the end that was bananas. And so I was like, how do I just take the bananas part out? I should have said I ripped my pants.
That Judy person, that, like, it wasn't her. So that didn't end up being true. She was actually... So the meat and potatoes of your story?
Yeah, I fucked it up. Yeah.
No, it's fine.
Yeah,
no, sorry.
No, no, I can't believe I got it right.
Yeah, that milk story, I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either.
Because if you would have cracked at least one of those teeth, or one of them wouldn't have been usable to put back in your mouth. Something would have happened, and they would have had to put a fake tooth or something in there, in my mind.
Which we all know how your mind works.
And after playing catchphrase with you. I feel like you just watched a documentary of the Eagles or something.
I believe the second story. I do believe
that makes me feel
story.
Really good about my story. Hey, all right.
So I'm going to say I believe the second story where you were playing for 50,000 people in, is it Ecuador?
Yeah.
Ecuador, and you threw a tambourine up, slid down and caught it, and then got laid but had whiskey dick.
Mm-hmm.
That seems completely normal to me.
Do you think that's normal?
I think that's completely fucking normal.
Yeah. Do you think that one's true? Yeah, yeah.
I think that one's true in the baseball.
I guess I was leaning towards both being a lie, but... So, yeah, I guess, yeah, because the first one has to be a lie. So the second one I'll say is true.
Why does the first one have to be a lie?
Because we just feel it's bullshit.
I love all the details of the second story are like, yeah, and you jumped off, you caught the tambourine, yeah. But, like, they don't have milk.
Yeah, exactly.
It takes a long time to acquire milk at a baseball field.
But who knows where milk is in this world?
Well, haven't you ever done something on stage that's outside your norm, and then it fucking works out, and you're like, that was weird.
We believe in. Instead, you had a mohawk on a stage in Ecuador for 50,000 people.
I do.
But milk?
That.
Get the fuck out of here. Got milk? I say no.
So what do you think is, Jess, what do you think is the truth and the lie?
I think I'm with you guys.
Yeah.
Even after you just said the thing about milk?
Yeah.
Unless you're like a super good liar. Well, I don't know. The thing you said about I have pictures on my phone, the way that you said I have pictures on my phone was pretty good. If you were bullshitting.
The teeth thing?
No, when he was talking about Ecuador, he's like, I got pictures on my phone, but he said it as like an aside that he wasn't thinking about. So
right. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a
you should sell
catch.
Cars
yeah.
if it's if
I
it's
think
but
I think no man would say that they had whiskey dick if, on purpose. You know what I mean? Like
oh, and so. The way that you started with that and then brought it back, yeah, that was your one hell of a storyteller, if that's not true.
So what is the answer?
Well, so what's your picks?
We are in unison saying that you didn't break your teeth out.
Yeah.
That story is true, but it wasn't me.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was my teammate, Luke. My teammate, Luke.
But do you know for a fact that they saved all his teeth?
They saved all of his teeth because some blonde-haired soccer mom, chunky soccer mom, came out with a typical Indiana soccer mom, comes out with like a glass of milk. I don't know where she got it because
that's
I was in the
perplexing.
Dugout.
That's perplexing.
I was in the dugout with the other
kids. I'm more worried. Like, how'd you get a glass? Why you got a glass? Why you got a glass on them?
She ran to get like she drove somewhere.
My mind went with that because I'm from North Carolina in Florida. And being in a field like that with the kids, I feel like there would have been a house not too far away. So she could have run
right.
to somebody.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was like wondering why everyone was so perplexed about the milk thing. Because like,
yeah,
you know, growing
probably
up,
lived right next door. Or,
right.
Yeah.
I don't know if she went to the grocery store. I embellished some things like that I didn't know. Like I didn't know if she went to the grocery store. He did have six root canals. Sorry. He did have six root canals, but I didn't know.
How does
know.
That work? You get your root canal taken out and then they put your broken
well,
teeth back in?
Well, and that's the other thing.
Yeah,
I think they
part.
Put veneers
yeah,
in, but they
the
saved his teeth. I don't know what they did with his teeth. Because he had to have six root canals, but they kept his teeth. They got the milk, kept it in there, and they drove him to the dentist.
Oh, they saved his teeth then, like in a box in a drawer somewhere.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Wow.
And then the whiskey dick, all that shit was true.
I'm just roasting you because my lie was bad.
So here.
Are you going to show us a picture of you with it catching the tambourine?
That was the crowd.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. Wow.
Wow. You really are a jazz musician.
You really do.
Do you have a picture of the mohawk?
That's when I met him when he had a mohawk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that I knew was true.
There's a panoramic view.
Fuck.
Well, wonderful. Yeah. Maybe you can send us some of those pictures and we can put them up on our website that we're going to build next year.
Follow me on Instagram at TheIsaacAllen. That's TheIsaacAllen. And then Twitter at IsaacAllen.
Well, thank you. How about you?
I'm all over the country. Dates are on jessareed.com. I have a podcast called Mormon and the Meth Head, where Mormon and I exchange stories similar to some of these. And Jessa Reed Comedy on Twitter and Instagram.
Wonderful. Well, I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington. And you've been lied to.